Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. My name is Eric Heimlich, and I'm your host. And today, I want to talk to you about the topic of celebration. You know, celebration is a discipline. And unfortunately, what I'm finding in my own life is that it's all too easy to just slide by events that are in our lives without really taking time to stop and to celebrate. In Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline, the last discipline that he looks at is the discipline of celebration. And many times we don't think about celebration as a discipline, but really it is. And to learn to celebrate well and to celebrate in a way that is truly glorifying to God is something that is not as easy as it sounds. This past week we had our Nehemiah discipleship training program for the summer, and our focus during this time is on training leaders. And so each day we had a different theme, and we also had leadership lessons that went along with it. On Monday, we focused on discovery. We had each of the young people take the Strength Finders test and get their results. And it was exciting. We had a time where they revealed their strengths and had each person guess what their strengths were. And it was kind of a game that we made out of it, but it was an exciting time. We also looked at the book Strengths-Based Leadership, based on the Strength Finders test. And there are 34 themes in this particular kind of strength-based test. And I know that there's a lot of different things out there, but this one has 34 themes, and so it gives you the top five. What are your top five themes? And it was really interesting to see that, you know, leaders lead from their area of strength. And that was our lesson for the day. And there's not just really one way to lead. The point in this book is that leadership is influence, and we are all influencing in some way. And so whether or not you are leading through your strategic thinking, through your influence, through your ability to execute well, or whether you are leading through relationship building, there are lots of different ways that leaders lead, but leaders lead from their area of strength. And so really leaning into that, finding out what is it that I am good at and doing more of that. You know, you often hear people say things like, you know, you can be anything you want to be. And it's just not true. It doesn't matter how hard I try. I will never be a basketball player like Michael Jordan. It doesn't matter how much I want that. It's just not there for me. The truth is, though, that you can be a lot more of who you were made to be. And so leaning into those areas of strength are really important. And so if you work in your area of strength, you're going to be better off, and the team will be better off as well. And so the first day we had a discovery day. It was exciting. There was lots of discussion on that. And then the second day was our training day, and we went through the book Atomic Habits, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and the focus that day was leaders develop good habits, and they are effective. For each of our days, we had different disciplines from the celebration of discipline that the young people were focusing in on. So day 1, prayer, guidance, and confession. Day 2 was the disciplines of simplicity and study. And it was a great day. It was also the 4th of July. And so we had a cookout for supper, and it was a fun day. On Wednesday, we went to Detroit as a team and did some mobile marketing for Wake Cafe. And on the way there, we listened to the book Making Ideas Happen, a great book. And the focus that day was on leaders make ideas happen. They execute well. The disciplines for that day were the disciplines of submission and service. It was a great time. We had a fun time there in Detroit, and it was great to see a Wake Cafe. And it was a great example, really, of what we were talking about. I pointed out the thousands of tasks that would have been in the list if we had had a comprehensive list, to be able to take a Wake Cafe from an idea all the way to a reality, and to be able to see it through the first 5 years of service there in Detroit. There's a lot of execution that has gone into that. a lot of work that has made those ideas happen. But they're happening, and they're happening on a daily basis. It's exciting to see it in operation. On Thursday, we had a day that was modeled after a monastic community, and we prayed the Psalms five different times that day. We had times of prayer, and we went through the first 25 Psalms, and it would be basically the pace that if you were reading through the entire Psalms or praying through the entire Psalms once a week, which many communities do around the world, that would be the rate at which you would be praying those Psalms. And so we started early in the morning before breakfast with our first time of prayer, and then again at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and then we ended with Vespers at almost 6 o'clock that evening, and supper, and then we had a time in the evening for individual meditation and solitude. And it was a day where we focused on leaders move ahead despite obstacles. They are resilient, and had them focus in on a resilient life by Gordon MacDonald. The disciplines that day were fasting, meditation, and solitude, and we did all three. It was a great day, and many said that was their favorite day. It's interesting working and praying, all the work that you were able to get done while taking time throughout the day to pray and to focus in on the Psalms. It was a good day, and the day was modeled after the rule of Saint Benedict, and would be the kind of life that you would experience in a monastic community. Not that we're trying to become monks, but I think there are things that you can learn from each and every rule of life. And so as disciples endeavoring to learn from this particular rule of life, it was beneficial. And also just the practice of praying the Psalms, of reading these prayers, many of them written by David, in times of distress to God, and then praying those out to God for the individual things that you're experiencing. And really praying the Psalms really expands our vocabulary for prayer. And it was helpful. And then on Friday, the last day of our training time, we had a day of celebration. And it was exciting. We had a great breakfast, and then we headed out to go kayaking. And it was just a beautiful day, about 82 degrees. And as we were making our way down the river, we stopped on different sandbars to stop and to just take time to play, to reflect, and to read. We read The Unhurried Leader, or at least portions of it that day, by Alan Fadding. And our leadership lesson for the day is leaders celebrate. They live grateful, purposeful lives. And our disciplines for the day were celebration and worship. And after we finished that afternoon, made our way back home, and then we had a celebratory supper at Ivanhoe's that evening together, and all of our participants shared from their experiences and just things that they were thankful for, things that they had learned throughout that week. It was just a great time. And we shared from Richard Foster's book there at supper on the celebration of discipline, on the idea of celebration. And, you know, learning to celebrate, learning to really be intentional in our celebration is something that can give energy to the rest of life. I believe it was Michael Hyatt that said, we lose our way when we lose our why. And many times what happens when we take time to celebrate is that we remember why we were doing what we were doing in the first place. And if you don't take time to celebrate, if you don't take time to reflect back on what God has already done, to take those times where you're truly remembering why, it's really easy to lose our way in the middle of just the experiences, the day-to-day humdrum of life. And that's one of the reasons why I think celebration is so important. I think another reason, though, that celebration is important is that it brings energy to all the rest of what we do. And it was amazing that evening after we finished our day of celebration, I came back home and was working on mowing, and the visionary in me was alive again. And as I was mowing and thinking and reflecting on the past week and on that day, I just felt so incredibly energized in that moment. And I don't always feel that. It was a really great example of how celebration can really fuel the work that we do. And if we take time for celebration, if we take time to be intentional about that, then it really helps the rest of our work make sense and fit into its proper place. And so each day really was amazing in our leadership training time, but probably that last day, that day of celebration was my absolute favorite. It got me to thinking about some other celebrations in my life and celebrations that are coming up. We are coming up on 25 years in August of being involved in ministry. It was 25 years ago that we had the very first outreach in the park. What became Victory Intercity Ministries later started there. And it's hard to believe that 25 years have gone by. But being involved in ministry for 25 years and thinking about where we are right now, where God has brought us from, all of the things to celebrate along the way, the ways in which He has blessed different aspects of ministry, the people that have been saved, the lives that have been transformed, but also just the work that's been done along the way and that is continuing. It's amazing to see. You know, in Scripture, we see celebration. Again and again, God builds into the year of the Jews these special times of celebration that become a rhythm. And really, each Sabbath day was a time of celebration. It was a time where they were to play and to reflect and to focus, to cease their work and to take time to do the things that remind us that our work is not what really makes the world go round. And I think that celebration is a missing discipline for many of our lives. It's too easy to just continue to just push ahead and fail to take time to really stop and reflect on what God is doing and on His work in the world. If you've not read the book, An Unhurried Life and An Unhurried Leader, I highly encourage you to do that. And there are some things that really resonate with me in that book because I've run some parallel paths. And I know when I was in Indianapolis in 2007, there were lots of things that were going on. And ministry-wise, things were going great. And yet, personally, I was not in a good place, and there was just more and more going on and more sense of responsibility, things that were demanding my attention. And I remember getting away for a day of prayer and just really taking time to just seek God there and Him speaking to me so clearly in that moment when I was asking Him, Lord, what do You want me to be? And Him saying, Eric, I just want You to be my child. Eric Heimlich, child of God, doesn't sound like a very important title, and yet really it's the only one that really matters. As I've come back to that truth again and again in my life, it has been a formational moment. In the book An Unhurried Life, Alan Fadding describes a similar kind of experience that he had in his life. It's interesting how that reading that account of someone else who was going through something similar and how God brought him to a place where he realized his need to stop, to reflect, to be still and know that He is God, really brought him to this place of really celebrating what God is doing rather than just pushing ahead and trying to grit it out. And I think that many times that's our modus operandi. You know, that's the way we work, is just grit it out, just find some way and grind it out and get through. And I get that. Sometimes you need to just, you know, continue on. And there's no way to cross a stream in two small leaps, as they say. You either do it or you don't. And so you've just got to push through. But I also know the value of taking time to celebrate. And as counterintuitive as it may sound, sometimes the best way to get things done is just to stop and to celebrate. To celebrate where you've already been and to recognize that what it is that God is doing is much bigger. And there is so much to be thankful for. There's so much to be energized by. Because what God is doing is incredible. And when we really take time to stop and reflect on it and to celebrate it, to actually see it and not just, okay, let's get on to the next thing. Okay, we got that finished. Let's do the next thing. When we take time to celebrate, we begin to get the big picture again. We begin to see, oh, this is how it all fits together. And here are the pieces of that. Again and again in Israel's history, you see these times of celebration being pivotal for them as they cross the Red Sea and the Egyptian army behind them is destroyed. What do? They stop and they celebrate. You know, as they're bringing back the Ark of God, what do? They celebrate. And David dances before the Lord in just complete and total abandonment. He is just so overjoyed that he just can't contain himself. And so he's dancing before the Lord. As you go through scripture, in Nehemiah, I believe it's chapter 8, where he tells the people, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and instructs them, don't weep, don't cry. This is a time for celebration. It's a time when we get perspective, when we take time to celebrate, when we take time not just to do what the world calls celebration. You know, many times this mindless, mind-numbed kind of ceasing of activity to do other kinds of draining activities, run off to some amusement park or do something else that will amuse you. Those are not the kinds of celebration that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of celebration that causes us to reflect on the goodness of God and the work of God in the world and recognize His work in our lives and to see it for what it is, as a great tapestry on which God is painting an amazing picture and we get to be part of it. And when we take time to stop and reflect on that, to see the big picture, wow, there is so much more than what we see in the day-to-day. And many times we get stuck, you know, just looking at the snapshot of today. And it can seem pretty bleak in the moment. You know, you're looking at the cash flow problems or you're looking at the individual problem that you've got to deal with today or the next deadline that is facing you. And those things are real and they need to be dealt with. But if you're not careful, you begin to lose perspective. You can't see the forest for the trees, as they say. And you just kind of get bogged down in that. And you're not really quite sure why you're even doing it to begin with. And you lose your way when you lose your why. And so celebration really helps us to reconnect with why. It helps us to reconnect with what it is that really matters. And when you look back over the landscape of life, most of the time those individual bumps in the road aren't the things that you see. But as you look back over the landscape of life, those moments of celebration rise above the landscape and stand like a beacon, reminding you that God is good and He has given us so many good things and we have so much to be grateful for. And so the day of celebration was my favorite, but it got me thinking about the idea of celebration and the ways in which God has been working and is working. Leaders take time to celebrate. And so I don't know where you're at on all that. I'm not sure exactly what's going on in your life right now. You may not feel like that you have the luxury of celebrating. And I get that. There are times when you just have to buckle down and keep going. But I want to encourage you in the middle of being disciplined and taking time to get the projects completed that you need to complete. Take time to celebrate. Build celebration and the discipline of celebration into your life. If it doesn't get scheduled, it doesn't get done. And the reality is that you're never going to come to a point where you think, you know, I've got everything completed and now I can finally celebrate. That's not going to happen. And so if you do it, you're going to have to do it because you choose to do it. And so taking time for celebration, taking time to really focus on the big picture, to cease from that labor and to take time to step back and to just enjoy God and His creation and to play well and to spend time with those that you love. That's the stuff that will help to fuel the work that you're struggling so hard to do right now. And so I want to encourage you, take time for celebration. Build it into your life. Put it on your calendar. Whatever it is that you are celebrating or that you need to celebrate, I want to encourage you to build that into your life and begin to be intentional about that. Don't just let those moments slip by without practicing the discipline of celebration. So that's my word for you today. Take time to celebrate. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.